Then rejoice evermore, rejoice evermore. It is better to It is better to live than be dying. So let us rejoice evermore. Amen.
Amen.
I think I will be following my brother Minoru to preach the gospel.
Amen.
I would like to begin by going back to the very beginning of our training in message one to touch the intrinsic significance of the overall subject, the general subject, which I hope has been impressed upon us, and that is experiencing, enjoying, and expressing Christ. Our dear saints, experiencing, enjoying, and expressing Christ, these are the heart, this is the heart of the divine revelation and the central thought of God's eternal economy. Our experiencing and enjoying Christ is for the corporate expression of Christ as the organic body of Christ consummating in the New Jerusalem. Saints, it is not just good. It would be nice. It would be good if we would enjoy the Lord so that we could have a better day. Not like this. Actually, God's economy hinges on our experience and enjoyment of Christ. Once upon a time, I do remember that this phrase, enjoy the Lord, was something strange and new to me. The first time I walked into the church meeting, that day I heard this phrase, enjoy the Lord. And these people kept talking about enjoying the Lord, and I had never heard that before. I had heard about having joy in the Lord. I'd heard about that. I'd heard about rejoicing in the Lord, but not enjoying the Lord. That was new. Today, this term maybe is very common to most of us here. I hope, dear saints, we would not take this phrase for granted. Oh, we have the privilege to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
You know, many of the Lord's dear children, the concept is we just worship the Lord. But the revelation in the Bible is that we can enjoy the Lord. I do hope that through this fellowship, meeting after meeting, there'd be a kind of aspiration within each one of us. Lord, I need to enjoy you more. I need to enjoy you adequately. I need to enjoy you sufficiently. Well, we come to message number five, enjoying Christ as the reality of the New Testament Jubilee. And this message is based on the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And this matter of the Jubilee, this is the one nugget, the one gem that we're presenting from the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to bring your attention to Romans 3 in your outline, firstly. Romans 3. This explains why we're covering this point of all the points in the 24 chapters of Luke. Why this point? The proclamation of the Jubilee in Luke 4 governs the central thought of the whole Gospel of Luke. Did you have that impression before? The Gospel, actually, so many cases in Luke, every one of them, actually, the man Savior was proclaiming Jubilee, bringing people into Jubilee. Case after case, he was bringing the people who had lost God back to their possession. The people who were bound in sin,
Amen.
Freeing them
Amen.
To enjoy him as the reality of the Jubilee. Now, I know that many of us here are familiar with this matter of the Jubilee. Even just a few years ago, we had a college training on the Jubilee. But I still believe there are quite a number here who maybe just hear about it, may not know in detail. So I do think it would be very good if we would just take a few moments to read the scriptures in our scripture reading. Not all the verses here, but a number of them. So I invite you to read with me to open to Luke 25 in your Bible, Luke 25, verses, not here it's 8 to 17, we'll just read 8 through 10, Leviticus 25, 8 through 10. Okay, if you have it, you can join me. And you shall count off 7 Sabbaths of years to yourself, 7 times 7 years, so that you have the time of 7 Sabbaths of years. That is 49 years. Then you shall sound aloud the ram's horn in the 7th month, on the 7th day of the month. On the day of expiation, you shall sound the trumpet throughout all your land. And you shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Then at verse 11, the 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. So that's Leviticus 25. Isaiah 61, if we could turn to Isaiah 61, the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the terebinths of righteousness, the planting of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. And finally, now in Luke 4, 16 through 22. The Jubilee is mentioned there in Leviticus for the first time. It is prophesied in Isaiah, but in Luke 4, we have the reality or the fulfillment. Luke 4, 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And according to his custom, he entered in the Sabbath into the synagogue and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. Sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away in release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee." And when he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all who bore witness to him and marveled at the words of grace proceeding out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Amen. So thank the Lord. Leviticus, Isaiah, Luke. Let's go to the outline. Roman 1. The year of Jubilee in Leviticus 25, 8 through 17 is recorded as a prophecy in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 and is fulfilled in reality in Luke 4, 16 through 22. A. In the year of Jubilee, there were two main blessings. I hope we really would get this. Two main blessings. The returning of every man to his lost possession. and the liberation from slavery. Those are the two main blessings. Now we have some application here. One, in the year of Jubilee, everyone who had sold his possession was allotted, his allotted portion of the good land was returned to it without paying anything to redeem it. And everyone who had sold himself into slavery regained his freedom and returned to his family. In two, returning to one's possession and being freed and returning to one's family signify that in the New Testament Jubilee, the believers have returned to God.
Amen.
As their lost divine possession, have been released from all bondage,
and have
returned to the church as their divine family. Okay, the situation in the Old Testament, thank the Lord for this picture. Thank the Lord for this picture. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, we know that the goal was a land flowing with milk and honey. That good land of Canaan. So the Lord eventually brought them there. Of course, that was a long journey. And when they got in through Joshua, we know that eventually the land was allotted tribe by tribe. And then within each tribe, families got their portion. So at that time in Israel, there were no landlords and no beggars, no poor people. Everyone was the same at the beginning. However, God foresaw in his wisdom that some of his people would be lazy and even gluttonous and lose their portion and have to sell their portion. And then some, even more so, would end up selling themselves as slaves. God foresaw this. And he made a way actually for you to redeem if you could, but actually most people probably couldn't do that. But eventually, on the 49th year, there was the blowing of the trumpet. And in the 50th year, there was a reset. And everyone who had lost their possession, they could go back. They could go back. What does this show? What does this show us, brothers and sisters? Actually, all mankind, when we were created, God was meant to be our possession. You know that hymn 223? In this portion, we have God, whom we lost through Adam's fall. In the fall, we lost God. So Ephesians says, we are without hope. All the people in the world are without hope, without God in the world. The rich people, the poor people, all the same. The presidents, the prime ministers, the ambassadors, and beggars on the street, all the same. In this regard, everyone's poor because they lost God. And everyone's bound by sin. Who's not sold to sin? You know, it says in what? Romans 7, I am fleshly sold under sin. The Lord said in John 8, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Of course, some people, it's overt sin, even addiction, sexual indulgences, gambling, drugs, all these kinds of things. But with many people, maybe they're a little bit more refined and they can hide it. They can cover. They're not so reckless because of society and to hold a proper job. But actually inwardly, who is not reckless in their heart? All are sold under sin. And people decide, I will not sin. I will not continue this way. You can't do it because you're a slave to sin. I was touched as I was in all this material with Psalm 19:12. Lord, clear me of my secret sins, of my hidden faults, secret faults, I think the recovery version. Is there anyone that does not have secret faults, secret sins, hidden. We all need Jubilee.
Amen.
And even all God's children still need Jubilee.
Amen.
Because we don't think the one thing. You know, when you don't think the one thing, the subjective experience of Christ as our enjoyment, when we don't think the one thing, we lose our possession. And almost immediately we're back to something else. And we're sold to something else. These says, in the Old Testament type, the Jubilee lasted for 1 year, but in the fulfillment, it refers to the entire New Testament age. The age of grace as the time when God accepts the returned captives of sin, and when those oppressed under the bondage of sin enjoy the release of God's salvation.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 6, it says, in an acceptable time, I listened to you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. You know, and that is actually a quotation from Isaiah about the year of Jubilee. In Isaiah, it says, thus, this is 49:8. It's one of the references there. Thus says Jehovah, in an acceptable time, I have answered you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people to restore the land, to apportion the desolate inheritances. Saints, the year of Jubilee is a year of acceptance. I hope we all realize the year of Jubilee is here. We're in the Jubilee.
Amen.
It's very sad that the captives are released, but you didn't get the notice. Do you understand? So you still live like a captive. And you still live in poverty. But your inheritance is waiting for you.
Amen.
From Luke 4, the Jubilee has been fulfilled.
Amen.
Go back. Don't wait.
Amen.
Let us come back to our inheritance.
Amen.
And don't think, oh, I'm not worthy. You know, like the prodigal son. We have that here, Luke 15. We'll get into that a little later. The prodigal son said, you know, oh, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. You know, the father interrupted the nonsensical speaking. Don't think you're not worthy. The enemy lies. We have the blood.
Amen.
The Jubilee begins with a silver trumpet.
Amen.
Redemption. There's a lamb on the throne.
Amen.
There's no reason to stay away.
Amen.
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 And God will accept you.
Amen.
It's a year of acceptance.
Amen.
Just come home.
Amen.
We need to tell many that have been among us, come home.
Amen.
The Jubilee has been proclaimed. Just come home.
Amen.
And we need to return. Often we get cheated in our mind thinking these thoughts. Oh, I have to do something to get to the place where I can be accepted. That's a lie. Here we also have Romans 8:2. There is now then no condemnation.
Amen.
To those who are in Christ Jesus. He says the believer's enjoyment of the Jubilee in the age of grace, their enjoyment of Christ as God's grace to them will issue in the full enjoyment of the Jubilee in the millennium and in the fullest enjoyment in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and the new earth. Romans 2. The year of Jubilee is the age of Christ as grace dispensed into us for our enjoyment by his words of grace. The New Testament Jubilee is an age of ecstasy for our salvation. In this point, saints, I hope we pick up these two phrases. Words of grace and ecstasy. Ecstasy. First, ecstasy. A says, the New Testament age is an age of ecstasy, and a Christian is a person in ecstasy. If we have never been in ecstasy before God, this shows that we do not have a sufficient enjoyment of God. I hope we just pause and say, Lord, do I have a sufficient enjoyment of you? And maybe I did once upon a time. Maybe I did one day have a kind of ecstasy. But when was the last time? Oh, Lord, be my joy. I come to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. You know, this word ecstasy, the like definition, the dictionary definition is intense joy or delight beyond rational thought. Intense joy or delight beyond rational thought. You know, in the verse that we have here, 2 Corinthians 5:13, says, for whether we were beside ourselves, it was to God, or whether we were sober-minded, it is for you. Saints, have we experienced this, that we're touching the Lord, maybe in the Word, and we just end up beside ourselves? Beside ourselves. We need more of that. You know, another verse here, actually these next two verses, Acts 11 and Acts 22, they both have this word trance, T-R-A-N-C-E. We may think this is something special, strange. In chapter 11, it's about Peter. He was in a trance. In chapter 22, it's about Paul. He was in a trance. Do you know this word trance in the Greek is the word ecstasis? It's the word that we get ecstasy from. And this word is based on the word translated beside ourselves. It's all the same. And this word ecstasis, the Greek word, it means this, to take one out of the regular position and bring them into a state of rapture or ecstasy. Which means what? I'm regularly here. But now I get taken out of here to here. We need, you know, our modus operandi, our regular is living is not in ecstasy. Every now and then it's good to be taken out of our regular position. Don't just have a regular morning revival. Let's open, Lord, Lord, I want the sufficient enjoyment of Christ. I want to enjoy you to the point I'm out of myself, Lord. This should not be that rare to us. Oh, Lord Jesus, if we have never been in ecstasy before God, this shows we do not have sufficient enjoyment. Oh, Lord, grant all of us sufficient enjoyment. Point B says, Jubilee. Oh, saints, listen to this. Jubilee means having no worry or anxiety, no concern or care, no lack or shortage, no sickness or calamity, no problems whatsoever,
amen,
but rather having all benefits.
Amen.
Hence, all things are pleasant and satisfying to our heart.
Amen.
And we are free from anxiety, at ease, excited, and exultant.
Amen.
Is that good?
Amen.
But I have to ask you, is this your enjoyment of Christ? If not, you could pray, Lord, I want this. Are you? Some of us might say, Lord, are you actually offering this? I've never enjoyed this. No worry or anxiety? Is there anyone with no worry or anxiety? But Lord, in the Jubilee, you can have no worry and anxiety. Even it says, all things are pleasant and satisfying. We know in human life, hardly anything is pleasant and satisfying. You buy a car, it gets a dent. Becomes a problem. You buy a house and the boiler bursts in your first week. It's because that was your joy. Now it's your, you understand? It's your problem. Everything becomes a problem. But when you have the Jubilee, you can be like Paul, Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, Paul's there telling everyone, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Where was he saying that from? He was there in the prison. And he said, saints, I learned a secret. I learned a secret. Don't you want to learn this secret?
Amen.
Oh, I hope we would say, Lord, shepherd me into this secret. To enjoy you to the point where everything is satisfying and pleasant. So that poor or rich is the same. Sick or healthy, it's about the same. Nothing changes my enjoyment of Christ. There's this little phrase here, rather having all benefits. Did you see that? Having all benefits. This is from Psalm 103. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits.
Amen.
That's why I said before, the Jubilee has much to do with the words of grace. When we have the words of grace, I tell you, you can be in Jubilee anywhere. Everywhere. You know, saints, we have lots of benefits. You know, all of us were chosen before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Don't you ever feel not worthy? Oh, then you have to shake that off and remember his benefits. He chose me.
Amen.
He qualified me.
Amen.
For a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light.
Amen.
I have boldness for entering the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Blessed are those who wash their robes.
Amen.
That they may have right to the tree of life.
Amen.
I am in Christ.
Amen.
God put me in Christ.
Amen.
And he is wisdom to me.
Amen.
I have a new heart.
Amen.
I have a new spirit.
Amen.
And I'm joined to the Lord one spirit.
Amen.
These are all his benefits. When you join yourself to the word, when you say amen to the words of grace, I tell you, automatic jubilee. And then we see the things that are not seen. And we don't focus on the things that are seen. The things that are seen take away our joy. If the things that you see take away your joy, that means we don't have sufficient enjoyment. Point C says, we must receive the Lord Jesus as the real Jubilee in us. If we have him, we have God as our possession and can be delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan to have real freedom and rest. One, there's another key. Actually, these next three points are very important, the subpoints. When we receive Christ as our Savior in life, he comes into us to be our Jubilee. But unless we allow him to live in us, and unless we live by him, we are not practically living in the Jubilee. So there is a Jubilee, but I'm not in it. You know, the scripture verse here is John 8:11-12. Verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not by no means walk in darkness. He's the light, but if we don't follow him, we're still in darkness. No wonder. And the Jubilee is about returning to our portion. And Colossians says it's the portion of the saints in the light. So we have to follow the light in our daily living. Two says, if our heart is set on any person, thing, or matter other than the Lord, this is idolatry and the end is wretchedness. Three says, if we allow Christ to live in us and we live by him, everything is to our satisfaction. Otherwise, everything is a problem and nothing is a jubilee. I want to link these 2 points, 2 and 3. If we set our heart on any person, thing, or matter other than the Lord. You know what that is? Not thinking the one thing. Saints, it's so easy to set our heart on other things. Surely, in the human life, there are many practical things. We have to take care of our living. We have to take care of our providing for our family, for our children. There are many practical things with our living situation, with our job situation, in the church life, many things. But where is our heart set? Our brother gave an illustration last night about some dear saints among us as parents. There's the full-time training, and there's not the joy to send the children to the train. Why? Sorry to say, the heart is set on something else. You have to be honest. It's so easy for our heart to be set on persons, on things, on dreams, on expectations. I'm afraid many of the young adults among us, the young working saints, the college saints, be careful. Yes, you can have aspirations. But at the end, I want to point out, bring the Lord into the aspiration. Because just having that aspiration, that dream, that fantasy even, will take away our heart. It actually takes away our portion. We lose God practically. And when we have this, sometimes living this way, eventually no jubilee, and you're in the church life, but not happy. Our heart aches over saints that have this kind of feeling. You know, I was remembering the psalmist that says, this Psalm 73, "For surely I have purified my heart in vain, and I have washed my hands in innocence. For I have been plagued all day long and chastened every morning." So all day long you just feel plague. Life is just plagues. And even in the morning, I try to have time with the Lord, chastened. He rebukes me. I'm not happy in my time with the Lord. But here it says 17, "Until I went into the sanctuary, until I touched my spirit in a genuine way." And then in verse 25, "Whom do I have in heaven but you? And beside you there's nothing on earth I desire." Saints, when we set our heart on Him, life is meaningful. Life is so meaningful. Then everything can be satisfying. Even when the things don't go our way, don't put your hope in the things that you can see, in all the outward things. Sooner or later, all the things you can see will disappoint. And it's a shame sometimes we have these expectations, and when the expectations and dreams are not fulfilled, we have disappointment. And sometimes the disappointment becomes bitterness. I'd like to read 3 one more time. If we allow Christ to live in us and we live by Him, everything is to our satisfaction. Otherwise, everything is a problem and nothing is a jubilee. D says, "Everything can be satisfying to us only after we have gained the all-inclusive Christ as our enjoyment. It is not outward persons, matters, or things, but Christ within us who enables us to be calm and free of worries as we face all kinds of situations." Romans 3, the proclamation of the Jubilee in Luke 4 governs the central thought of the whole Gospel of Luke. And the parables of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 and the prodigal son in Luke 15 are excellent illustrations of the Jubilee. I think we're familiar with these two parables. Touches Luke 10. The man-savior presented in the parable of the Good Samaritan signifies the expression of the divine attributes with his human virtues. The man-savior, in his lost one seeking and sinner-saving ministry journey, came down to the place where the wounded victim of the Judaistic robbers lay in his miserable and dying condition. When the man-savior saw him, he was moved with compassion in his humanity with his divinity, and rendered him tender healing and saving care, fully meeting his urgent need. saints when there are others that are in a poor state, that have lost their possession, that have sold themselves to slavery. And we want to go to proclaim Jubilee. Don't go with a trumpet. Go with the Lord's humanity. Go like the man Savior. Go with compassion in his humanity with his divinity to render tender healing to people. Point B, the man Savior presented in the parable of the prodigal son shows his shepherding, seeking and saving spirit with the Father's loving, forgiving, and compassionate heart. Now we have these several points on the prodigal son, which relates so much to our experience. One day the prodigal son returned to his possession and his father's house. That was a jubilee, a liberation, and everything became pleasant and satisfying. To be saved is to return to our inheritance, to return to God, to come back to God and enjoy him anew as our possession. To be saved is to gain God. When we have God, we have everything. Without God, we have nothing. Three, God has become our blessed portion in Christ. But many Christians are unhappy and are like lights that do not shine because they do not turn on the switch by taking Christ as their portion. Saints, as I mentioned, the Jubilee has already begun. We're in the age of Jubilee. It's just a matter of returning and claiming your inheritance. This is just like electricity installed in a house, but you're there with no light. Just turn on the switch. A key, you know, the verse they have here is Ephesians 4:18. Being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. You know, darkened in their understanding. Why are saints unhappy? Why are believers unhappy? I have to say, I do believe it comes back to this point, not thinking the one thing. You know, our mind governs our soul. The mind is the leading part of the soul. So I would ask, predominantly, what is in your mind? Just before this, in Ephesians 4:17, the apostle says that we should no longer walk like the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You know what that means? Because Paul was saying that to the Ephesian believers. It means it's possible for believers to walk in the vanity of our mind. Dear saints, we have to check, what is there in my mind? When there's vanity, when our mind is set on other things, darkness is there. And the portion, Christ is the portion of the saints in the light. When we're in darkness, there's no portion. There's no enjoyment. We have to turn from our mind to the Spirit. Say, Lord, help me to set my mind on my Spirit. Four says, the Father's acceptance of the Son and the Son's returning to his Father and his Father's house were the year of Jubilee to the Son, the year of grace. God in Christ has become the fattened calf for the enjoyment of the repentant and returned prodigal sons. This corresponds to Leviticus 25:11-12, which says that the people were neither to sow nor reap in the year of the Jubilee, but only to eat and enjoy. Amen. Once we repent and return to God by receiving the Lord Jesus, we obtain God within, and this is the beginning of our Jubilee. We are not the Father's hired servants, but his enjoying sons. And we can continually enjoy God as our possession from now unto eternity. Now, I like to say something about 6 and 7. The Son had this concept, and I believe many of us, many of the Lord's children, still are governed by this concept of laboring for God, not being worthy. So I come to do something to become worthy. It's works. So the prodigal, he practiced even to say, Father, I'm not worthy. Make me as one of your hired servants. We see his practice speech. And then when he comes to the son, the father runs to him, embraces him, kisses him, and he tries to talk. He says, Father, I'm not worthy. And the father interrupts him. Quickly, bring out the best robe. And the ring. And put sandals on his feet. And then get something into his mouth to shut him up. Get the fattened calf. He needs to eat. And not talk nonsensically. I don't want you to work for me. I want you to be with me. But he's not the only one that had that thought. The older son was exactly the same. You know, the older son, you know, he hears the singing and everything and he's coming back. This is the, you know, these are the good ones, right? Quote unquote. These are the ones that never left. And there's many like this in the church life, but not happy. Still not happy. Actually here, he became angry and was not willing to enter in. Says, behold, and this is what he says to the father. Behold, many years I have been slaving for you and have never neglected a command of yours. Do you think the father had that concept? That you're my slave? No! You're my son! And then he says, child. Oh, then he says, you haven't given me a calf that I can enjoy with my friends. So he's in the house focused on the friends, not on the father. Then the father says, child, you're always with me. And all that is mine is yours. So he had the inheritance, but he also didn't enjoy it. So we have some that get discouraged, they leave. We want to tell them, come home. But there are many who never left. They're here, but not happy. We want you to come home too. We want you to come to the Father and start to enjoy. Don't slave away in the church life. We all need the Jubilee.
Amen.
Romans 4. Here, saints, we come to a very, very practical point of 4a. And this is really how to enjoy the Jubilee in a practical way. We need to enjoy Christ as the reality of the freedoms and blessings of the New Testament Jubilee. Please don't go over this phrase too quickly. Enjoy Christ as the reality of the freedoms and blessings. Christ himself is the reality. Christ himself, the person of Christ himself, is the reality of the Jubilee. A says, in order to enjoy Christ as the reality of the Jubilee, we need to spend time with the Lord day by day.
Amen.
To listen to his word and be infused with him. We need to follow the pattern of Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. Now, this portion, we have here Luke 10:39, but actually verses 38 to 42 are the portion directly after the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we touched earlier. How does the parable of the Good Samaritan end? The Good Samaritan, he finds him, the wounded one, binds up his wounds, pours in oil and wine, and then what? Carries him to the inn. Of course, the inn is a picture of the church life. So then these verses follow to show you what's going on in the church life. You have two choices, Mary or Martha. To be Mary, Mary was enjoying the Jubilee. Martha sorry to say, was slaving away. It says she was being pulled, you know, well, I'll just read this. Mary, she complained. No, sorry. It says, but Martha was being drawn about with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, does it not matter to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to do her part with me. And the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. He may have said it that way, I don't know. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Was she in the Jubilee? No. But there is need of one thing. One thing? For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know, it says Martha was drawn with much serving. You know, that word drawn in Greek, drawn about, means being pulled in many directions all at the same time. Does that sound familiar, brothers? Does that describe our service sometimes? But brothers, we need to be Mary Martha. Mary Martha. Even if we're serving, we should still be in the Jubilee. And especially, we need to spend time every day. We need to spend minutes. This is practical. Spend time before the Lord to listen to His Word, to be infused by Him. Here we have four very practical points from this one verse. This is amazing. Luke 10:39 says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to His Word. So we have these four points. And you can see they're italicized. The main point is italicized. Point one, Lord Jesus, the person. Point two, at the feet. Point three, sitting down. Point four, listening to the Lord's Word. Okay, let's get into these. Saints, this is the way to enjoy Jubilee every day.
Amen.
To return to our portion. So that we can enjoy the freedom in Christ through our whole day. One, she was at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And not at the feet of anyone else. She was drawing near to the Lord. No method is better than coming to Him. Moment by moment. Loving Him. Worshiping Him. Unceasingly fellowshipping with Him. And remaining in His presence.
Amen.
Saints, this is the shortest and the quickest way to grow in life. To come to Him. Come to Him. All the time. Be drawn to Him. Lord Jesus, You're my goal, You're my focus. Two, she sat at the feet of the Lord, meaning that she put herself in a humble position in order to receive the Lord's grace. Humility is not belittling ourselves. Humility is ignoring ourselves, negating ourselves, and considering ourselves as nothing. Humility is, Lord, I forget the things behind. Because I have not attained. I have not attained. There's more for me today. Lord, I want You today. I'm not satisfied, Lord, with the measure of enjoyment that I have. I want sufficient enjoyment. Lord, take me on. Lord, according to that hymn, I think it's 554, and He speaks to me and reveals to me all His riches for me today. Lord, I want the today Christ. I haven't attained. I am nothing. I have nothing. I need You today. That attitude will invite the Lord's grace. Three, she was sitting down. This phrase is powerful, saints. Quietness before the Lord is often the source of spiritual strength. Man's eyes and thoughts often are distracted to the outward world. Outside world, those who are busy with a wandering mind and vacillating thoughts cannot receive revelation easily. The greatest challenge that man faces is being quiet before the Lord. Think about it. Each morning we spend time. Who does not struggle with the vacillating thoughts? Why? Why? One practical thing is, saints, we should check. Yesterday, where was our mind? What was our mind set on? What are the things that occupy us? It's very often when we're having time with the Lord, our mind goes to those things. The things that our heart is set on throughout the day. It could be our children. It could be our education. It could be our future. It could be a person. It could be a thing. It could be a work for the Lord even. Even our service sometimes, sorry to say. Takes us away from beholding the Lord absolutely and purely. Oh Lord, I want the simplicity and the purity that is in Christ. I want you. You know, Psalm 27, 4 and 8. One thing, again, one thing I have asked from Jehovah, that do I seek. To dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. Oh, every day we should just say, Lord, I just want one thing. I want to be with you in your house, in your church, in my spirit. And Lord, I want to be here, not beholding other people, but beholding you. Lord, I want to behold your beauty. Show me your beauty. Capture me by your beauty. Oh, I tell you, it could be in a short time with some honest prayer like that. You are beside yourself already. Lord, you're so lovely. I don't deserve this. I don't thank you for your blood. I've never done anything to deserve this. But I'm still here in front of you, accepted by you, one with you. How can I not love you? Just a little prayer, just a little opening. Verse 8 says, Psalm 27:8, when you say, seek my face, to you my heart says, your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. You know, there are times the Lord is saying, seek my face. Don't pray about your children. Don't pray about your health. Seek my face. We can pray about that later. Don't pray about the church. Don't pray about new ones and the gospel. We can pray about that later. Seek my face. Don't be occupied right now in these moments in the morning with any of those things. Seek my face. It would be so good if our heart would be free instantaneously to say, what? To you, my heart says, your face, O Jehovah, do I seek. He says, seek my face. We say, we seek your face. We're available. We're not preoccupied. And we don't have the vacillating thoughts. You know, a kind of sister verse to this is, of course, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord. There it talks, beholding and reflecting. You know, this gives me the thought of a lake. You know, when you have a lake and it's still, and you have a scene, maybe a mountain and some forest or something, and the reflection on the lake, it's a copy. It's an image. But I tell you, take one stone and you throw that into the middle of the lake. That's our morning revival sometimes. That's our time with the Lord. Oh Lord, I want to behold you. We're not beholding because our mind. Oh Lord. Oh, did I touch this verse yet? Isaiah 30. In returning and rest, this is the reference here. In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and in trust will be your strength. But you were not willing. Oh Lord, make me willing. Make me willing and train me, Lord, that I could behold you and just be quiet sitting at your feet. At least a few minutes every day, saints. Can we have the grace for a few minutes where Jesus only. Isn't that what the Lord said on the mountain? The Father. Jesus only. And point four, she was listening to the Lord's word. The words that the Lord speaks are spirit and life in order to dispense himself into man, into men. Her listening to the Lord's word afforded the Lord the opportunity to communicate himself to her so that she would continually receive the Lord and gain him. The word is a very important part in our fellowship with him. Through the word, he communicates to us. And he communicates all the benefits. All the benefits. Okay, point B. God's salvation causes us to have real freedom. Our possession is God. And our freedom comes from our enjoyment of God. If man does not enjoy God, he cannot have real freedom. Freedom means release, to be freed from all bondage, all heavy burden, all oppression, and all enslavement. See, first Satan captured us. Then he came to dwell in us as the inciter, the instigator of our sins. The result is that he has become our illegal master. And we have become his captives to the extent that we are unable to do good and can only commit sins. The only way of escape. Yes, we have the blood. We do have the blood. But to escape so that we're not constantly needing to confess, the only way is the enjoyment of Christ. And I hope that does not become a cliche. I hope we don't have the thought, oh, I won't go fellowship about this because they're only going to tell me to enjoy the Lord. I hope it's more than that. I hope we can go deeper than that. But in essence, saints, that is the solution. One says, if a man does not have God, whatever he tries to enjoy apart from God is dog food, refuse, and dung. Satan is called Beelzebul, which means the Lord of the dunghill, from Beelzebub, meaning the Lord of flies. Satan specializes in leading sinners like flies to feed on dung. And we may not realize or have that kind of realization, saints. Maybe during our day, we're still feeding on dog food, hog food, and dung. I skipped over this reference in subpoint one, this 2 Peter 2:22. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. The dog has returned to its vomit, its own vomit. You know there's a verse like this? Actually, it's in the Old Testament. Repeated here. And the washed sow is wallowing in the mud. Sorry to say, I know this experience. Do you? To return something the Lord dealt with, you vomit it out. And then later, because you don't have enjoyment, you go back to it. And then you take it in, and you're filthy within. And then you're like the sow in the mud, filthy without. Why do you think there's such a verse like this in the Bible? If not that it matches our experience. We all still need Jubilee.
Amen.
We all still need to have deeper enjoyment. That will save us from going to other things. And again, saints, it seems like every time we have to talk about this, the devices that we have. I don't have a cell phone up here. I have this thing. I have my, you know, my Bible's here and my Bible's here. So it's practical. But it's a portal. A portal for my eyes and my ears. And psychologically, I'm eating. How about you? What do we eat? Are we still feeding on the dog food? On the hog food? Like the prodigal son. He was there longing for the food that the pigs were eating. And the dung. Oh, sometimes I just get upset with myself, disappointed with myself because this instigator, Satan, he's just led me by the nose again to the dunghill. And some, you know, not all the dunghills are the same. Some are cultured dunghills. Some, they don't seem that, you know, overt, you know, sinful. But the issue is still, no God. God is replaced in my life, at least for those 10 minutes. 3 says, although deep in his heart, no one wants to sin. Eventually, everyone sins. No one has control over himself, and everyone has become a slave of sin. Paul's desperate cry in Romans 7:24 is answered in Romans 8:2, which says that the law of the Spirit of life frees us in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death.
Amen.
We can be released and have real freedom only by enjoying Christ as the life-giving Spirit. Only those who enjoy God do not commit sin and are really free. Living a life of liberty, release, and freedom from bondage. Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Here it says, enjoying Christ as the life-giving Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Amen.
So I ask you, where is there? My Spirit.
Amen.
We need to come to our Spirit.
Amen.
And yes, our Spirit has these three functions. And the conscience. The conscience is the leading function. So we do need to confess our sins to come back. But then go on, saints, to have fellowship. That's God as our portion. It's not a cliche to say, turn to your Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, I come back to my Spirit. I want to take heed to my Spirit. One. The law of the Spirit of life releases us from the law of sin and of death. This law is the Lord Himself who passed through death and resurrection to become the life-giving Spirit. If we do not enjoy the Lord sufficiently, we will still be in bondage to many things. Making up our mind will not work, and we must continually come to the Lord to eat and enjoy Him. Saints, I hope you would consider the first half of this line. If we do not enjoy the Lord sufficiently, we will still be in bondage to many things. We need to check. And I think if we're honest, we would say, like already we know, Lord, I know I'm in bondage to this. I'm in bondage to that little device. I'm in bondage to certain sites on my computer. I'm in bondage to certain habits. If we do not enjoy the Lord sufficiently, we'll still be in bondage to many things. Oh, that the Lord would deliver us by the enjoyment of Christ. Christ, as the Jubilee, frees us from our poverty, captivity, blindness, and oppression.
Amen.
The living of the Jubilee is a living in the enjoyment of Christ. A living of enjoying God as our inheritance and real freedom.
Amen.
This point one. Point, saints, this another very practical point. I hope you could be impressed with this. The living of the Jubilee is a life in which we take God Himself, Christ Himself, in every situation. Then He becomes the primary factor and center in us to overrule all the troubles of human life. And the first reference here is John 6:16-21. I think we're all very familiar with this account, which appears in several the Gospels of the Lord, walking on the water, The disciples are in the boat. You know, this account is right after the feeding of the 5,000. And then the Lord, very interesting, he tells the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. And then he stays to disperse the crowd. And then he goes up to the mountain to pray. Not in John, but in other gospels you can see. He goes to the mountain to pray. You know, and that's a type of the Lord ascends. The Lord in his ascension. And then he sent us on our journey in the church age. So the church age is in the boat. The boat is the church. And the church age is not an easy life because the sea is stirred up. And we saw last night why. Because the evil spirits and the demons. And so the enemy is always attacking. And then it says, the strong wind was blowing and the sea was churning. That's in John 6. Then, at a certain time, the Lord walks and he sees them. But they become frightened. Very interesting. And if you get anything from this. Then when they had rowed about 25 or 30 stadia, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they became frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So what? Why do we have this here? Saints, to enjoy the Jubilee, simply invite the Lord into your boat. Whatever that is, your marriage, your relationship with your children, your education, your profession, your even consideration of profession, your service, into everything we should invite the Lord into the boat. You know, it says, when they saw him, they were frightened. I know some young people through the years, they're afraid to invite the Lord in the boat because they have the thought, I know what he's going to say. I have this desire, and if I include the Lord, I know he's going to take it away. So I won't include the Lord. Don't do that. That's a big mistake. Just invite him into the boat. He might surprise you. At least, he could do it with you. Maybe. But he'll let you know. At the very least, you get his presence and his speaking. And you won't be frightened anymore. Just include the Lord in everything. This is to give the Lord the first place in everything. Saints, do you want to enjoy the Jubilee? And do you want to return to God as our portion? Do we want to be free from the slavery of sin? Then every morning spend time at his feet. And every day, in every situation, invite the Lord into your boat. The final point. Oh, here, it's a wonderful prayer. Because everything is under his sovereignty, we should pray. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord, fill me, gain me, and possess me. No matter what my outward situation is, I just want to enjoy you. Amen. We need to be today's ministers and witnesses by living and proclaiming the gospel, Christ as the Jubilee of grace for the accomplishing of God's eternal economy. Of course, this points us to others to proclaim the Jubilee. But I tell you, saints, we all know, it's very difficult to proclaim the Jubilee if you're not in the Jubilee. Because you could talk about the Jubilee and people say, doesn't look like. I'm not inspired by you. May we all enjoy Christ as the reality of the Jubilee.
Amen.
And especially, saints, I leave you with these two points. Every day, at the beginning of our day, spend time with the Lord Jesus, focused on Him, sitting at His feet, quiet and listening. And then in every situation, all day long, invite Him in. Give Him the first place. Amen. Let's have some prayer with some around us.